Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. Rob Ninkovich will join us here in our Gillette Stadium studio at noon today. We will replay the Tom Brady interview from Kirk and Callahan this morning. He was on with Jerry and Mutt late in the program. So we'll replay that at 1 o'clock, and James White will join us at 1:30.
So he's available to join us, just not play too much in the game.
Probably not going to tell us a whole lot about what we saw last night, I'm guessing.
He might pull a Gronk. He might tell.
Maybe.
He might unload the whole thing for us. We'll see.
So all of that still to come. And look, there's a lot of people are running hot around here right now.
As they should be.
As, you know,
that was a rough
game. We're not used to seeing this sort of thing. I heard Boomer this morning, by the way, and he was right. God, it was a boring game.
It was that,
it was
too.
Just,
on top of everything else.
I mean,
it was,
we
also
have to
dud.
Watch
yeah.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, all of us have to see it, and we watched it all. But it was a boring game. It was a terrible game.
It was a turd.
Patriots looked bad on offense, bad on defense. Special teams were okay. I mean, at least Cordarrelle Patterson had some nice returns.
He's a return man, it turns
that's
out.
That's what he can do.
He's nothing else. He is just a return man, and that's fine. So every once in a while, you'll start with the ball on the 35, maybe the 40. And then on offense, he was one of three wide receivers they had dressed in the game. And you almost, he's not, you know how some people include Matthew Slater as a receiver?
He's not.
Cordarrelle Patterson's not to that level, but it's close. Like, what else can he really do? That's why I was surprised that Josh Gordon couldn't have, because he was on the practice field Wednesday, I was hopeful that they could have schemed something up 10 plays just to get some attention away
from Gronk.
Well,
that's what we thought they'd do, is they just have a very limited playbook.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand he only had three practices.
He better play on Sunday. This Sunday.
Plus, that hamstring's really bad.
The hamstring's
Rich.
Fine.
You know, from the photo shoot.
We don't know how aggressive the photo shoot was. It could have been for, you know, the X Games. We don't know what it was.
Apparently the and I read Mary Kay Cabot this weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently
hamstring wasn't the problem.
The Browns were a little surprised at they thought it was a fashion photo shoot. You know, yeah, sure, use the facility.
He's
no
running
problem.
40s.
He's running 40s at this at this photo shoot.
I bet he was running pretty quick though. I bet he had some good times. Hopefully shirtless. I bet he was doing just fine.
Wouldn't
Thank
you hope?
Huh? Yes, you would. But he fills out that Patriots sideline gear very well. I'm very much looking forward to him in a Patriots uniform. And there's no reason for it not to be this upcoming Sunday. You got to try something. It's not like you need to make room for Edelman on the roster. This is going to be the last game that Edelman is also not out there for. So I would absolutely love to see Gordon. Because at the very least, a safety or whoever, corners, multiple corner, they're going to have to pay more attention to him. And maybe that frees up Gronk a little bit.
All right, so you've got folks running hot around here, maybe some overreaction on the part of some people. What we need is a voice of reason.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We need somebody, you know, a little more down the middle than we're able to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when I think down the middle voice of reason, first person I think of is Stephen A. Smith.
It is too early. It is entirely too premature to get caught up in this is the beginning of the end of whatever.
Patriots.
I'm sorry. Is there some funeral that took place? Do I need to put forth a eulogy that we gonna put on the airwaves of First Take? That did Bill Belichick die? Did he stop coaching? I'm sorry. Bill Belichick, they got to go out there and throw the damn football. Bill Belichick is going to be coaching for years to come. I haven't heard him hinting or alluding to potential retirement. What do you mean? Did he forget how to coach football? Did he forget
better,
to do things schematically?
The
bottom line is they don't have the personnel yet that they will have, and they went against a familiar foe. That's all that happened last night. Pump the brakes. Everything will be fine with the Patriots.
Yes, Max is trying to say there at the end. So, yeah.
Of course he is.
Familiar foe. No, but he's like, all right, so you're chalking this one up to a familiar foe? Like, what happened to Jacksonville then? What happened in the game against Jacksonville? Is that a familiar foe?
Played him in the AFC Championship game.
I guess it is. So, but if Patricia knows the book on the Patriots, couldn't you make a great case that the Patriots would know what Patricia is doing? Didn't Belichick teach Patricia everything he knows? Right? So did the student become the master last night, or did the Patriots just play terribly? I think
Patriots
it was more to that.
Awful.
They were awful. I don't think it was necessarily a Matt Patricia thing. I think it was more on the Patriots.
No, I'm trying to at least be somewhat down the middle here, as pissed off as we all are. You know, they will get Julian Edelman back in 2 weeks. They will have Josh Gordon, presumably, on Sunday.
That's the offense.
They will get Trey Flowers back. All they right. will get Patrick Chung back. Those are important. I'm not going to count Eric Rowe. Those two are important players
Chung
on the
Flowers,
defense.
Chung and Flowers are important, but I just don't think that a team that has never had a 100-yard rusher in 5 years all of a sudden gets one, and those two guys would have prevented that.
Yep.
Or some of the – again, there are certain plays that Chung can probably make compared to some of the other guys that were out there, but this team has also overcome injuries so many times. You know, they won a Super Bowl without Gronk. You know, they made a Super Bowl without Hightower. Like, they every year they have to overcome injuries, and now they're out there missing their...
Oh, no, I'm not trying to say they would...
No, they were going to win.
They'll
be better.
They will.
But how good is that?
And that's the question.
Yeah. Is that good enough? And I still
think Trey Flowers is their best defensive player.
Oh, my God. No, I still think it's Gilmore.
Yeah, I think it's Trey Flowers, but certainly the best on the front seven.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No, it should be Hightower, but this version of Hightower, that is not it. So it probably is Flowers, and then you probably go to Gilmore, and then maybe Devin McCourty is probably your top group in, you know, defensively. And last night, it was just a disaster.
All right, back to the call, 617-779-7937. Jay is in Marion. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Jay.
Good. So, you know, the offense is going to be okay. We're talking about voice of reason here. You know, if the offense isn't okay, we're in big trouble, and I think everybody knows that. But between Brady and Gronk and White and McDaniels calling the plays, Gordon should be able to come in and help stretch the field. Edelman's going to come back. He's going to get those key first downs and stuff that we need. I think the offense is going to take care of itself. We're not Mike Tomlin and the Steelers here. We don't have total chaos. Defense is the issue. We don't have swagger. We don't have personality. We don't even have a defensive coordinator. You know, what do we do well?
You do.
What do we do well?
I mean, technically, you're right, yeah.
What can we do to get better? I hopefully you guys push Ninkovich a little bit just on the D side on what his opinion is, because you can't look at the Patriots and say, well, what do we do? Are they that bend, we don't break team? Do we, you know, put pressure on the quarterback? Do we have a good secondary? We don't have anything. We have no personality. And, you know, I was just thinking through all 32 teams. We got to be, you know, bottom eight or so in the league right now, and I don't see it getting better. And there's more and more pressure on Brady every year. And the Super Bowls we've won outside of, you know, the Atlanta one, which was just, you know, a freak, an unbelievable comeback. We've always had a good defense, and I just don't see that. I thought that we were going to see that defense get built up towards the end of Brady's career, and I'm just not seeing it, so I wanted to get your take.
Yeah, the defense, you know, and actually it's a good point, too, that we should have mentioned even earlier.
The defense in the Super Bowl was awful.
No, it was bad. And the defense last night was bad. And really, the offense only scored 10 points, but part of the problem early on was they never had the ball. Now, part of it also their fault. You can't go three and out and punt. You're not going to have long possessions. But then Detroit gets the ball, and they're just milking the clock forever, and then they're able to score, whether it's a field goal early or they're adding a couple of touchdowns later on.
I know they didn't go perfect on third down conversions, but it felt that they did.
Didn't it have that Nick Foles feel again where a handful of times, say it was third and eight, they would complete a pass for about 5 or 6 yards. The guy would make one player miss, sometimes two players miss, pick up the first down. And you're like, here we go again.
They punted once.
One punt, and the tackling was bad again. You know, so that was frustrating. I don't know how you remedy that. Like, if this is, with the exception of Chung and Flowers, like this is the group. And so I don't know if there's another move to be made down the road, but it's hard to envision this defense all of a sudden getting a whole lot better.
617-779-7937. Bob's in Connecticut. Hey, Bob.
I'm still trying to figure out what happened last night.
Yeah, I mean it's anybody's guess. Yeah, what do you
luck.
Have? Yeah.
What's the answer? I mean, you know, if Belichick's the guru that he is in defense, I've never seen it. I don't see it now.
You've never seen it?
Well, I mean, I think it's obviously existed. I mean, they've had a lot of success. If you want to say this year you're still looking for it, I would understand that.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, when have we ever really had a really shut down defense?
Well, I mean, if you want to go back to like 04, I mean, the 04 defense was insane.
Great.
Yeah.
Right. Would you just think that the consistency would be better than that with the man that's at the helm, right?
Yeah, you would. I mean, that's what it gets into the players, too. Like, I thought the 14 defense was really good. I really like that one also. So, I mean, they've had some good defenses. They've also, at times, not. Like, that's definitely true. But usually, they're at least good enough. And I don't even know if this year's defense is good enough. Because the offense with Tom Brady, especially since about 07, maybe even 06, I mean, even though he had no receivers, you usually expect the offense is going to be better than the defense. But is the defense good enough? I think that's fair. And also going back to the caller, two callers ago, talking about, you know, the attitude or the swagger or whatever, it's a pretty good point, I think. Like, Malcolm Butler did not have a great year last year, but every guy we would talk to, like, who's the best trash talker? Like, Malcolm Butler is.
Right.
Like, you kind of had that guy on your defense. I don't know who it is anymore. Like, do they just have a bunch of nice guys playing defense? That's why I like, even though it was only a couple of times, but Dietrich Wise showed some personality. Like, he made a play, showed some personality. Now, you don't have to go nuts. You don't have to do, like, a 10-minute orchestrated dance or anything like that.
I'm just saying, Chris Canty.
No, please don't be Chris Canty.
Yeah, don't do that.
Like, no, I mean, when you make a play, not when you tackle a guy 25 yards down the field. Yeah. Don't do a 10.
Yeah!
Play Willie Clay coming in. They're doing a whole thing. Don't do that. But do they have any of that? Can they develop that? I don't know. Is it in somebody that we haven't seen yet? I would hopefully like to see that going forward.
Let's go to Joe in Lincoln. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, good. I have one positive about the game, believe it or not. And one
wow.
Nice. Let's
negative.
Hear it.
Well, you actually kind of said that they were getting pushed around, and then Dietrich Wise suddenly hit the guy hard for, I think, either loss or almost no gain. And suddenly there was a motion in the defense for like about 3 seconds.
It was a great 3 seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was pretty fired up for those 3 seconds.
No, but I mean, and you could see what, in other words, you could see what they could do. It wasn't just a question of
right.
You know, talent. They, and so I think why that happened, why they got pushed around, I don't know. But there's at least something to build on. But the negative thing, you know, Tom Brady in the off season and the whole thing with the Tom versus time. I mean, can you imagine how much Belichick hated that? Belichick doesn't tell you. If you ask what the weather is, he says
yeah,
he has to.
Josh Gordon wasn't on the team all last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and here's Tom talking about, well, I don't know if I want to play football, and showing conversations he was having with teammates. Belichick must have hated that, and Tom Brady knew that. So I think there's something really seriously gone wrong. And I know it sounds ridiculous to say that Belichick got mad and said, you know, Tom, forget you. I can't stand the way you're doing things. I'm going to take away all your receivers. Could you imagine him trading Gronkowski for nothing? So this year, imagine what this would have been like this year without Gronkowski.
Oh, my God. They'd be 0-3 probably.
If Matt Stafford had been throwing to Gronk last night.
He could have been. I mean, yeah, that would have. Yeah. I mean, that just would have been. That would have been the death blow, I think, for the Brady relationship, too.
And
it just would have been.
Explain to me why Belichick, all the Belichick apologists, explain to me the logic of why he would do anything like that when you still have a quarterback that's as good as Brady is.
I'll try to play that side. I don't feel this way at all.
It's
trust
the
me.
Only
I
explanation I have.
I would say Gronk was talking about retirement even before that
right.
week. And
am I going to wrestle? Am I going to make movies?
Remember all that stuff? And then you get the press conference, the vroom vroom press conference. And it was like, what is this guy doing? Like the nonsense on Instagram and everything for a while. How committed was Gronk to football? Again, I'm not trading him.
No. But the addendum to that is, if what you were trying to do was draft the Brady replacement, now that would have completely ended the relationship here. Probably.
But you essentially would have cost yourself Brady and Gronk for
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that nuts. And I like Baker Mayfield, but like you can't squeeze out two more Super Bowl contending years with Brady and Gronk. I think that you can.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
This has just been one of those grinded out great efforts. And I think you have to begin to look at this Patriots team and go, okay, how good are they right now?
Mm-hmm, now what?
The only team they beat was Houston, and Houston hasn't won a game.
You know, in the aftermath of this horrific performance last night, and as you heard Chris Collinsworth point out, the only team they've beaten is awful.
They're terrible. Turns out not even a good win, not a quality win.
We thought they were a good team.
No,
they stink.
They stink.
So, you know, that's obviously top of mind for everybody. But at some point, maybe tomorrow, we'll talk about the other thing I watched all afternoon yesterday. And Tiger Woods' performance at the PGA Championship. So what we found out, the final round on NBC drew a 5.21 overnight rating, up 206% from 2017.
Smokes. Who was the final pairing last year? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Probably a couple of, like,
it
Webb
is the,
Simpson.
The highest non-major PGA Tour broadcast of 2018. Streaming was up 561% from last year.
I'm not surprised.
And it just means that, you know, a lot of people were doing what I was doing, which was watching Tiger yesterday afternoon.
Sunday Red.
It was...
How about the gallery for him? I feel like it was bigger than ever before.
I've never seen anything like that in golf.
Just like a sea of people. Like, he always had big groups with him. Like, that just goes without saying. But I feel like it was... If you did, like, a head count, it might have been the biggest group of people he had behind him.
I've never seen
I've never seen
a bigger... I mean,
crazy.
He had to fight his way through
to
get to the 18th green. You saw him sort of pop out of this this sea of humanity.
Yeah, Tiger's back.
He and Rory. So maybe that'll be a discussion point for tomorrow. We got enough to whine about today,
by the way.
Mark's in Connecticut. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. I was just calling because I don't know why everybody's so down on the defense. I mean, 26 points in an NFL game is good. On top of that, it's real good when the team had the ball, what, twice as long as your team did? The offense did nothing for them.
But don't you think that was part of it was that the Lions game plan was to milk a lot of clock and the Patriots couldn't do anything stop them?
Yeah, of course that was going to be part of the Lions game plan, sure, and the Lions did a good job with that, but the Patriots also went, what, 3-and-out in the first drive? That's the offense's
first
fault.
Three drives.
Oh, yeah. No, they were bad, too. There's no doubt.
The time of possession the Lions have, I credit more to the Patriots offense than anything really the Lions were doing. And plus, I'm not too worried about the running game because we conceded that to them. They have Marvin Jones, Galladay, and Tate.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we were down. We had issues with Rowe, and we had McCourty over there. So we were playing. We gave them the running game the whole game. So that game worked out just beautifully for the Lions because we were gonna let them run the ball. We just figured we were gonna put up more than I bet they thought it was gonna be a low scoring game, but I bet they figured Brady would muster up more than 10.
I thought it was gonna be a shootout.
You would think so, but I don't think that's how Patricia wanted to get into it. So and obviously that's not how he went about it because he really didn't go about it that way. But I don't know why everybody's so down on the defense. You know what?
It's awful, Mark. It's awful. Now, the offense is bad, too. But the defense, the run defense, there's only two teams in the NFL worse than them.
Yeah, but listen, we conceded the run. Just like.
But I guess to a point, you can't just concede the run. You need to get the ball back. So you can't just let them have these 5-6 minute drives. You can't do that.
If we didn't concede the run, it could have been 42-10 with those three.
Then it's a bad defense, then. It could have been 42, then it's a bad defense.
If we can't win a game, you should be able to win a game if your defense only lets up 26 points.
Yeah, but it wasn't just like that. You can't just look at the box score and say it was 26 points. It was the way the game was and how they dominated
time of possession.
You couldn't get off the field. Like, that's why it's a bad defense.
And by the way, I agree with Mark that, generally speaking, you think Tom Brady's never going to get held to 10 points. And especially not by, you know, a Detroit Lions defense that is not exactly, you know, one of the best in the NFL. They were awful offensively. I mean, there's no denying that. But that's the frustrating part. They were awful offensively. They were awful defensively.
Detroit was 7 of 14 on third down.
It felt more than that, didn't it?
It really did. But even still, that's 50% of the time they're converting on third down. The Patriots were 2 of 9. So, to the caller's point, the offense was bad. And I don't think we're letting the offense off the hook. I just think the idea of reinforcements being on the way, you have that with Edelman and the lottery ticket that is Josh Gordon. Defense, I know they had a couple of injuries yesterday, but it feels like they have so much work cut out for them here. In Detroit, Detroit's not a very good team. They're not. They got smoked by the Jets. They lost to the Niners. And they had apparently even more infighting than the Patriots did, or at least what we thought. And then Sunday night, they looked like a far better team.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, how are you guys? You know, I look forward to the football games. I live for it every Sunday.
Sure.
And, you know, you turn the games on, you're all excited. You know, the Patriots look good game. They look good in the first week, and they had a heat cup last week. But my God almighty, they were manhandled last week. They were manhandled last night. You know what I was doing last night?
What's that?
After the first quarter?
What?
I was going back and forth between the Alaskan Bush people, okay? The Patriots.
That's a pretty important show.
How is that show?
What does that tell you?
How's that show? Any good?
Well, now that they're out of jail, it's better.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. You know what? It's a pretty bad show, but that should tell you that the show that the Patriots put on last night was even worse. And you know what? For all these fans, these loyal fans, God bless them. I love them. And just like them, I want the Patriots to bounce back. But you know what? I think we're starting to see the beginning of the end. I saw your tweet last night, Keith, and I almost, when I saw it, I said, oh, my God, what's the score now? It wasn't that bad, but this team does not look good.
They do not. I don't know which tweet you're referring to. I was tweeting up a storm last night.
I was firing a very aggressive Twitter game last night.
Keith Spiracies. I had some GIFs. I was all over the place last night. I don't know which one you're referring to, but, yeah, thank you.
Doug's in Wilbraham. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Well, I have a slight conspiracy theory here.
Let's hear it.
We all assume the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. You got Edelman coming.
I'm not sure if I assume that anymore.
Oh, come on, Dale. They're making the playoffs.
Of course they are. And Detroit, we know, isn't going to go anywhere. Now, Patricia's friends with Brady, friends with Belichick. He's been getting killed in the Detroit media. Just, they wanted his head. So, maybe, I mean, I watched the game. It looked more like a preseason game for the Patriots than it did a real season game.
So what do you say?
Tony Michel running and stuff like that. So,
are you saying they threw the game?
I don't think they threw the game, but they're like, well, we're going to try a bunch of new stuff, and if we lose, we lose. Not a big deal. It'll give Patricia, you know, now in Detroit, they love him again because they beat the Patriots.
Right. Right.
And I saw this a bit on Twitter last night.
I tweeted out, I don't buy it.
I
was joking. I tweeted that out. I was joking. I thought they're trying to make Patricia look like a good head coach.
Yes, it does.
But the win is a lot more needed for Patricia.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think they're throwing games. I don't think they're going to go out there and say.
But, I mean, there was barely any effort from the offense, and they were trying to run Sony Michel in areas that he shouldn't have been playing in.
The only thing I will say is they definitely are trying to see what they have in Sony Michel, and we've seen that the last 2 weeks where he's led the team in rush attempts. I think it was only 10 against Jacksonville, but it was still the most on the team. It was 14 last night. So they are trying to see what they have in him, but I don't think they're going out there and saying, hey, who cares how the result is? They're just trying to see, all right, what do we have in Sony Michel? Can we rely on him later in the year? But it gets to a point where, all right, you want to do that while also winning the game. There should be more of a balance, and I don't know how much of that you got.
617-779-7937. Greg's in Falmouth. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, you know, that Tiger Woods win couldn't have come at a better time for Ryder Cup ratings.
Oh, exactly.
This week in Paris. Of course, they start at 2 o'clock in the morning, but
set your alarm.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, but I just wanted to say something. I'm an active duty NCO in the military. I've been there for around 19 years, and I get a chance to lead young men. And I think one of the things you guys hit on, again, and something that I'm really seeing is the dissension between some of the leadership on the team with the coaches. And you can just tell it's happening. You can kind of feel it. And, dissension among the leaders of the team, like Tom Brady and Gronkowski, that's not really going to affect their performance too much. But it's the people beneath them that see that and feel that. And it's really hard to snap out of it once morale gets low and you see that the performance is starting to degrade. But it really does affect performance, and I think that that's something that I hope they can address at some point.
I think you bring up an interesting point, and thank you for your service, by the way. And I said Gronk would never have said what he said after the game about the proposed Detroit trade before this. Tom Brady would never have said what he said after the game about, you know, we need James White in the game more.
I mean, until this year, Gronk was as good as, here are your Patriots notes, and you have to read these notes every time you're asking a question. He was as good as anybody.
Oh, he was Captain Cliche.
Now he's not. Now he'll still mix in a cliche, but last night, I'm saying to Dale, I think what Gronk said after the game is as surprising. Actually, you know what? It's more surprising than even the result in the game. Like, you just, you would not expect that at all. You thought he would downplay, you thought he would say whatever else, but he confirmed that, yeah, he was being shopped and that he was almost sent to Detroit. But you know, he said no and he wants to play with Tom Brady.
Which should make him a bigger hero among Patriots fans than he did before.
But the whole idea of, you know, the leadership and then the players looking up to him, it's a good point. And Rob Ninkovich, who's going to be joining us at noon, he talked last week, before they'd even signed Josh Gordon, he was saying what a bad message that would be if they did.
Yep.
Now you got to wonder, what's the message if they were going to deal Gronkowski away for a draft pick? Like, what is that message, and what are the other guys on the team, how do they respond to that?
John's in Hampton, New Hampshire. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
I'll put him on hold, see if you can find him. Bernie's also in New Hampshire. Hey, Bernie.
Bernie. Bernie.
Hello?
Hi, Bernie.
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Great.
Good. Well, I was a Boston resident for 32 and a half years.
Nice.
And I go back to the days at Dale. You probably remember the days of Eddie Adelman, Upton Bell, Steve Fredericks, Eli Slifer, Cliff and Klaff. So you know I've been around.
Oh, yeah. Dale used to listen to Eddie all the time.
And, you know, going back almost, I've been a Patriot fan for the last 45 years.
All right.
And I went through all that, the horror. And at the same time, this is what I wanted to give the preface, to know that I've been around long enough to understand that every good thing does come to an end at some point.
You sound like John Sterling talking to Susan.
and really, I'm...
Yeah, it's just there was a bit of a we don't need the resume necessarily next time.
We could stipulate to your bona fides here.
Yeah, it's fine. You've been a team. You've been a fan for 45 years. That's fantastic. You could just everybody knows the Patriots were bad for a while. Everybody knows. Although Collinsworth made it out to sound like they were bad before Belichick and Brady. Did you hear that when you saw? I think what he was trying to say was they were bad before Kraft took over.
Yes, they were.
But then he lumped in, and you would know that, Dale.
I was there. Well.
But he also lumped in Brady and Belichick, and he was saying how bad they were before all three got there. And I'm like, I remember watching the Super Bowl in 96. Like, how bad were they before Brady and – but anyway.
The one that Bill Parcells kicked away intentionally.
Yeah, well,
he was negotiating with the Jets.
It was, but they had some good teams, though, those years, pre-Belichick.
Yes.
But anyway, that's what he said. So anyway – Patriots fans are well aware that there were some really lean years. We understand that. So you can just jump in with that and say, hey, you know what? I think this is it. I think that's where he was headed. I don't think this is it. I don't. I think this is as brutal as it is. And we had a caller, the very successful NFL Sunday program.
Very
yesterday
morning. Highly rated.
We had a caller call in, and he said, this feels a lot like the 2009 team. And I said, you know what? It kind of does. The 09 team, of course.
The classic, I just can't get them to...
Yeah, the football life. Yeah. And that's what the caller said. He goes, I was watching, he was rewatching that, and he says, 2009, it was 10-6. It's good enough to win the division. You host a playoff game. Ray Rice comes in here and blows doors. So they didn't even win a playoff game, but they were a playoff team. And especially after... And he said that, the caller, before last night's game. After seeing that, you say, you know what? This does have a little bit of that feel to it.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Listen, when you're weak, when you're the weakest kid and you go into the bully's house, you get the snot beat out of you. We saw a weak team, the New England Patriots. Let's face it, they're not good anymore. They're weak.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Well, we're on to Miami, actually. Speaking of Miami, William Hayes yesterday has a sack of the Oakland Raiders quarterback, and because of the new rule changes, and believe me, Clay Matthews can tell you all about the rule changes.
Not thrilled.
William Hayes, at the last minute, tried to make an adjustment so he didn't land on the quarterback, blew out his ACL, done for the year. Because he was trying to avoid a penalty.
Right.
On a sack of the quarterback, on a play, by the way, which was pretty routine.
It was.
Adam Gase said because of that, he tried to twist at the last moment so that he didn't fall on the quarterback, blew out his ACL, done for the year.
Well, that's like the caller we had last week. He's like, oh, they teach that. They teach that alligator roll where you run in there, you grab the guy, and you flip on your side. You're like, no, these guys shouldn't be thinking that much. They should just go in there. They already know they can't hit him in the head. They can't hit him below the knee. You should be able to do anything else in between those lines. Go ahead and make an actual sack of the quarterback. It should be allowed. And now these guys who are trying to think about it are blowing out their knees. That's great.
And the Clay Matthews thing yesterday. I mean, again,
he is fired up.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, it is at this point. Now, you know how the NFL knew that they screwed it up? Because when he got the penalty last week, they didn't fine him.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? We're good. Now, he got another one yesterday, and you look at it, and you go, tell me what he can do at this point.
It's funny, because
I could have put, you know, some extra on him, but, you know, that's football. So, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So,
Nice, Clay. I actually agree with him, though. I thought the helmet rule was going to be the problem. It's the quarterback. It's the landing on the quarterback rule, which is, at least through 3 weeks, has been the bigger issue.
It's the much larger issue. So, as you might expect, now Bill Belichick will be on with OMF at 3:05 today.
I can't wait.
This might be must-listen radio.
I would say we
won't want to miss this. As you might expect, post-game last night, you kind of got some vintage Bill Belichick as well.
Bill, what do you have to do to improve the third down?
I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again. We need to do everything better. Play better, coach better, execute better in all three phases of the game. So whatever one you want to bring up, it's the answer is all the same. None of it's been good enough.
He's like Marshawn Lynch. I'm here so I don't get fined.
He said, oh, God, he didn't want to be there.
If we got to do everything better, no matter what question you ask him, like he just said right there, that's the answer.
I told you everything. We have to do everything better, which, by the way, kind of is true.
It is true, but it's also, I mean, it's so annoying if you want a real answer. Because you're saying, what do you have to do on third down? So they're being specific. Like, what do you have to do on third down? What do you have to do to be better? The answer can't just be better. But, I mean, I guess what are you going to do, right? Like that's. So I wonder if there's going to be a lot of that today at 3:05. It's like, what did you see on this? We got to be better. What about this? Got to be better.
Already discussed that.
Did you trade Gronk? How close were you? What happened there? What were we going to get in return? And then what were we going to do with those picks? Would Baker Mayfield be your starting quarterback right now?
He would go after that one, wouldn't he? That would be a quick moment in time.
They did need to do a lot of things better. And it's more frustrating because of the back-to-back losses. If, let's say, they beat Jacksonville, like a hard-fought game, they beat Jacksonville, then they have a stinker against Detroit, I don't think it would be nearly as bad. You know, like the Vikings had a stinker against Buffalo. I don't think you write off the Vikings season necessarily. But it's the back-to-back, and it was the urgency that Brady and McDaniels specifically were really talking about after the Jacksonville game. And then not only do you not improve that, but you end up being worse. And so to follow up that loss, to go into Detroit against a much worse opponent and play like that, man, I don't know how you spin that thing positive at all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.